This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Colosso Soprano. Go! The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Squirt!
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
New year, new season,
new decade,
same old podcast, because we've got action in the Premier League and you've got action right here. It's Golazo Supremo.
Golazo de Hasler de Alemania, Inglaterra.
To Liverpool, who has already struck, Rick, not 6 minutes into the fixture today as we wrap up match day 21 in the Premier League. It's Liverpool 1, Sheffield United, the plucky surprise story, Sheffield United with nil at this early stage.
My friend who's an Everton fan, she took her family back home because she's from Liverpool, big Everton fan, and she said, my son's going to Anfield tonight, I'm going to disown him, and she sent me this picture of him wearing the Liverpool hat and scarf.
Yes, so you'll never walk alone.
Whatever's clever, especially when VAR, you'll never score alone.
Nice.
But anyway, so yes, they are the flavor. Well, they were the flavor of the 80s. Everyone who I grew up with was either a Liverpool or a Manchester United fan. And now you get the Liverpool resurgence now, Dibs.
Without a doubt. And you look at what they've done at home, 50 straight unbeaten at home. And that's just truly remarkable. 55-0. I saw that. Courtesy NBC Sports in the pre-match build-up to today.
Wow.
To today's fixture against Sheffield United. Plenty to talk about around the Premier League. I know the FA Cup starts to reach a fever pitch with that third round action coming up. We'll get into that. Bad news for an American player overseas, DeAndre Yedlin, with a broken hand. He'll miss some time. And plenty of January transfer window chatter to kick about as well, Rick.
That is the main headline for sure, is what's going to happen. And just the new rumor for Tottenham is that Inter now want to have the services of Christian Eriksen, and Tottenham are putting a $25 million sort of hold on him right now. Tender, as we like to say.
Not Tinder, but Tender.
Yes.
Because there's Tinder and then there's a Tender. You can tender a Tinder, but you usually don't tender a tender. You tender a tender.
I like normally. That. Yeah, that works out.
Yeah.
And then if you go on Tinder, you can go to Burger King, get chicken tenders.
Yes. You could actually get tenders on your Tinder. No, it worked. It worked for me on a number of levels.
Yes, as long as you don't steal, you have to use legal tender.
In order to get your tenders while you're on your Tinder.
Yeah, and if you're in the hood, you get your proppers.
Nice. Now we're at Popeyes all of a sudden, and we're getting chicken and waffles.
I just want to give a shout out in a week where Tottenham had this horrifying game where Sonny gets red carded, 3-match ban, and just yesterday on New Year's Day, they have a goal that ties things up, and then on the same play, Kane is offside, and he does his hamstring. A shout out to Alireza Jahanbashk for his bicycle kick for BHA against Chelsea down at the Amex. And it was right in that same goal where I saw Hugo Lloris get hurt when I was there in October. There's some magic going on the South Coast. And I know that, you know, Tottenham went there and lost. Chelsea went there and drew. And I think most of these big clubs go there thinking, well, this is 3 points. But this was, and it's funny because when he scored, it just showed me the pure joy of soccer. And I'm honestly, I had never really heard of the guy. He's got the ultimate Iranian name, though. Great traditional Persian name. He did that bicycle kick, which, as you know, you have to kick it with your last foot that leaves the ground because the other foot kicks up. But far post, Kepa didn't even move. And as he started to celebrate, he put his hands over his face and he went on his knees because he knew right then that while he won't be immortal, that goal will be immortal. And it's I don't care what happens. It's got to be the goal of the year in the Premier League. And just a shout out to show why this is the best league in the world, because you have some guy that we never heard of having the best goal.
It was spectacular, and it reminds you of other great bicycle kicks, as they call it, the overhead kick. Zlatan Ibrahimovic with one, certainly. Mm-hmm. Cristiano Ronaldo, sure, who's got an iconic one as well. That's mm-hmm. that's got to be, for a goal scorer, for a striker, it's got to be the pièce de résistance. Much like for a cornerback in football, it would be the 100-yard pick six, or the kickoff returner with the 100-plus yard kickoff return, or, you know, the punt return, or even like you think about Deion Sanders and some of his iconic kick returns, just mm-hmm. to be able to be that great in that moment, surrounded by so many other elite athletes.
Yeah, and it's, and the thing is, it's even more rare than those as well. But just a little shout out to, because it's not often that I take a step back and I'm just a fan of the game. You know, I'm not usually that magnanimous, but I had to appreciate that
one. And especially right now, when you are waist deep in real issues with Ndombele getting hurt and Harry Kane being hurt. Christian Eriksen, who started to show some brightness again for Tottenham. It looked like Jose Mourinho was going to start using him more, and he was starting to fit back into the old gang. The gang was back together, and just like that, you get, well, first of all, a collective calamity at the back with the Vertonghen and Alderweireld, the old guy show. It's like the two cranks and the Muppets up there. You got him. No, you got him. Oh, oh, oh.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right.
It's time to let the striker have a clean shot or goal.
Tonight.
They got problems in Tottenham.
Alderweireld had a terrible game, which is very rare. Dele Alli yesterday had a terrible game. Ndombele and Eriksen looked great together in the last game. And then Ndombele, who asked not to play the game before, did a leg. And Mourinho said after the game, he's always hurt. I don't know what's up with this guy. I mean, he just basically called him out. He says he didn't want to play because he was afraid he would get hurt. And then he plays and he gets hurt. It didn't look like much. But that's the thing you got to deal with now, is that some of these players, they have agents and or what's going on, and they have to always, you know, look out for what's best for them. But I've always said, as a Tottenham fan, the number one goal is to avoid relegation, because I've been through relegation fights. I remember staying up on the last Thursday of the last week of the season, a Steve Sledgley goal. A terrible fullback. That was at Portman Road when they were playing Ipswich Town. That kept us up. That was Christian Gross and Mike Livermore, just these managers, these buffoons. So it's like, oh my gosh, we might not finish in the top four. Well, the guy that you just fired took you there 4 years in a row. And so when you look at how disjointed that display was yesterday, who knew what, you know, with Lo Celso, where am I going? Where are you going? That would be the kind of thing where you look at when Pochettino was there and you'd say, like, oh, he's got to go. So what are you going to do, fire Mourinho? No. These players have to start getting more organized and stop letting their managers down.
Yeah, and you look at the mixed results over the past couple of weeks since we've spoken. Chelsea 2, Spurs 0, then a win against Brighton at home. An odd tie against the Canaries playing against Norwich City on the road. That was the game, I thought, where Alderweireld was just virtually lost. Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
not as bad as yesterday.
Right. And you mentioned yesterday a bit of a howler in a loss to Southampton. Right now, Liverpool 1 and Sheffield United 0 still, as we're in the early stages of that. But outside of Liverpool, it's hard to look at any side and say they've got it all completely buttoned up, with the exception of the chaps at King Power Stadium, as Leicester sits Jamie Vardy for not one, but two of the fixtures over the weekend, and they win both comfortably.
Right. When they played Liverpool, what was that, a week ago, and Liverpool won 4-0 against Leicester, that kind of put it to bed, even though we say nothing counts till Christmas. Well, we're in the new year now. We're past Christmas.
And that certainly counted, and that was the day after Christmas on Boxing Day. We watched the full slate. We were down in San Diego as a family, and we were taking those in one at a time. Pretty good day of football throughout the course.
Yeah, and it's funny, as I talked to a Tottenham friend who said the season's over, I go, we still have two cups to play, and we're going to the Riverside here, take on Borough, and they're still in the Champions League. It's not all is lost. Okay, so they don't get into the top four. There are still cups to win. They haven't had silverware there in a long time. There's always things to play for, Dan, especially that League Cup. That
yes,
you love so much.
That's the FA Cup, right?
No, that the League Cup is what Colchester knocked us out of. The FA Cup is open to non-league teams.
So any team, basically.
Any team. Tottenham was actually the first team to non-league team to win the FA Cup in 1889 after Harry Chapman of Arsenal kicked Tottenham out of the league because he wanted North London to himself.
Okay. That's,
not that we remember.
The Carabao Cup is the League Cup.
The League Cup is the one, yeah, that's the League Cup. That has different sponsors.
Five leagues.
Four leagues.
Oh, it's the Championship, the Premier, and one and two.
One and two, yeah. Everyone else is considered non-league. The Isthmian League, the conference. It's usually you say conference football, yeah.
Not a whole bunch of really compelling matchups in the FA Cup coming up. I'm looking for any Battle of Titans. Old Rotherham against Hull City.
Rotherham.
Yeah.
You know, Rotherham. Well, isn't there a Liverpool-Merseyside derby there? It was a little, isn't Everton playing Liverpool in the FA Cup?
Oh, is that right?
I believe.
Oh, Wolves and Man United. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Chelsea against Nottingham Forest.
Forest, man.
Arsenal, Leeds, Liverpool and Everton. Yeah. There you go.
Forest went down and they've never come back up. It's heartbreaking.
You've got Bristol Rovers, not to be mistaken with the Blackburn Rovers, of course, taking on Coventry.
Or Bristol City.
Right.
One is the Robins and one is the Pirates.
Crystal Palace against Derby County. My favorite, Sheffield United going up against Field. F-Y-L-D-E. Field.
Is
Middlesbrough
When does Wayne Rooney become Derby's player manager for the Rams at the old baseball ground?
That's a good question. I wonder if it will be...
Is it now?
Or is it...
I was wondering if it was going to be in January, as they say.
Yeah.
You're just in time for the January sales.
That's right. Because he's gone from MLS now, and he's doing his own thing.
Yeah. I think he's at... I forget what they call their new stadium. I just loved it when it was the baseball ground.
That it was an old baseball ground?
That the pilots, and American pilots in World War II, and then they put a fence around it, and they put some stands in, and they started playing soccer at the baseball ground. That was one of the first questions I had. I mean, like in the late 80s, when I started hanging out with British people, why is it called the baseball ground? But that's the thing that's so great, these names. And most of these stadiums back in the day were just named after the road they were on, you know?
Vicarage Road, Carrow Road.
Yeah, and you think about King Harold fighting the Norwegians at Stamford Bridge. They named that stadium after that battle. Then, of course, literally they had to run down south because there was the Norman Conquest, and then he got shot, and Harold got shot in the eye. And
damn.
That's when...
That's a straight red, by the way. Shoot a guy in the eye, straight red.
That's a three-match ban for violent conduct. Yeah.
Let's talk about the straight red to Yunmin Son,
yeah.
And what transpired and what this means for Son. His star has never been brighter. He's been so good. He's turned into a real important fixture for Tottenham. But he's had now two of these incidents. One was wrongfully adjudicated and fixed after the fact. But this one, an inexcusable act of sheer violence.
Yeah, well, yeah, he felt the guy was lingering a little too long and his boots were up and it was just a little kick out. And, you know, the Rudiger made a meal of it, as they do in soccer. Straight red is a three-match ban, and it means that Lucas Moura starts, which isn't a disaster, but he's probably better coming off the bench. And I was just saying yesterday, like, man, we could really use Sonny right now. But, you know, he's the most famous celebrity in South Korea. He literally is the most famous guy in that whole city that people follow
more
every single...
More famous even than Seiri Park?
Yes, even more famous than Seiri Park.
She won more majors.
She did win more. That's a golfer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Women golfer. Yeah.
Female golfer, yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe even Chan Ho Park. Shout out.
Not bad.
Dodgers. Yeah. Who are the great Korean athletes?
There's two right off the mark. You nailed it. Seiri and Chan Ho.
Well, Hyung Lung Po was a Tottenham fullback. He was actually the first South Korean to play for Tottenham. Shout out to Po.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes when I don't get paid, I end up a little Poe, too.
This is Golazo Supremo, probably for the last time. Here, Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley. Liverpool easily in front. And as you mentioned, it's all but over in the Prem as they have a 10-point lead. And it'll be 13 if they handle Sheffield United. And right now they're up 1-0 in the 23rd minute. Leicester impressive in second. Then it's Man City. Quite a gap, though, back to Chelsea in fourth on 36 points, then Man U 31, Tottenham and the Wolves at 30, and then the aforementioned Sheffield at 29. Are we all pretty much waiting to see who gets fourth place for Champions League next year, assuming that City, Leicester with 45 points, relatively safe?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. They always say 40 points is when you know you're not going to get relegated, and then you can go in different stages. We'll see if Leicester can keep this up. We have no doubts that Liverpool and Man City will. But yeah, that fourth place spot is still available to the team that steps up, and some of these teams need to get out of their own way. You mentioned Tottenham playing some of these teams that are rock bottom. Some of them are in the drop zone and you know, dropping points to the very worst team in the league, which is something that they're famous for. That shows that this is not going to be their year. But there are other teams that have an opportunity to step up. It's right there for Chelsea if they want to hold on to it.
So far, it's not looked great. A lot of inconsistency with the young team, which you would come to expect. They look so good in the upset win at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and then to go and really fall flat against Brighton, even though it was a spectacular goal, to walk out of there with a draw is a bit of a disappointment. Mm-hmm. You look at the bottom of the table, the Canaries now, Rick, have sank all the way into 20th on 14 points. Watford on some good results of late, now out of the cellar, sitting on 19, and then it's up to Bournemouth on 20 points, Aston Villa at 21, the Hammers on 22, and then a group at 24 and 25. Norwich City, is it? I know it's only 21 matches down, 17 to go, but how desperate are the times for the Canaries?
Well, they won that game and they didn't even get off the bottom. It shows you how much the gap was. I don't think they're going to stay up. I mean, you watch that game until they got that goal where Alderweireld slipped, you could see why they were in last place. I mean, they were atrocious, and they have so many young players. They have hardly any internationals at all.
Shout out Teemu Pukki.
Pukki is, of course, and this is another thing with VAR. Harry Kane had a perfectly good goal disallowed in the win over, who were you just saying? My mind is all scrambled. The game before last, he had a perfectly goal. They ended up winning that game 2-1 anyway. But then you think about this Pukki goal. So I think his right knuckle was offside.
Ridiculous.
You should just look at the shoulders. If he's onside or not, it shouldn't be whether an arm is forward. You know what I mean?
Or like you say, a knuckle in this case.
Yeah.
Literally half of his hand, if that.
Mm-hmm. And Harry Kane, I believe it was his elbow. There's a little bit of his elbow. But if you look in the Olympics, it's your chest that hits the tape. You can't reach out. Otherwise, people would dive at the end of the 40-meter dash. It should be what the rules say, your chest. But now it's like, oh, look, Harry Kane's elbow is offside. He's standing the exact same spot as the defender is standing. And now his elbow. So now if I'm teaching strikers, I tell them to stay a step behind, which means now the defender has a step on you. It's just stupid.
And it ruins the spirit of the rule and the spirit of the game. And again, this is the VAR. This is what you wanted. You and all your let's get it right people. Your let's get it right army of people who,
well,
they want to take away the real thrill of the game. And what we're seeing now is fans don't know how to react. You see a play like that, Harry Kane, is he onside or is he not? I can't even cheer for the goal that I waited all day to see because I have to wait for VAR to check it. I have to have Mike Dean with his finger on his ear. And then I have to, hold on. Now we draw our imaginary square. Make sure it's, 13:9 ratio?
Sure.
And then it's
letterbox.
No goal. Yeah, it's a joke.
Well, when I saw it was introduced, I mean, I have seen so much soccer in my life, and I've seen so many heinous injustices that I just thought, well, now when the guy's three steps offside, I had no idea, Dan, because we had to see what would happen. I had no idea they would start measuring knuckles, and they get out this thing. They show you too. They get out this thing. It looks like you have your mouse and you're spreading it.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's this little line, and it's like, yeah, I can see maybe if he didn't moose his Bob's Big Boy curl that morning, and if he did more of a Glenn Kuiper vampire look, you know, straight back, he would have been onside. It's like, you're right. It's the spirit of the law and the letter of the law.
And this from a sport that has tried so hard, and I think they've done well incrementally at injecting more action. There's more scoring than there used to be. Mm-hmm. The 1-0 or the 0-0 snoozer is out of the game somewhat because of the talent of the players, but also the rules making it so that offensive players have a little bit more of an edge in the physicality.
They do, and the biggest thing for that, I think, was in the 80s in the World Cup when they, and then in the Premier League, or back then the Division I did it too, and then everyone copied, was that they made 3 points for a win. Because forever in England in the World Cup, it was 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. And there was really no incentive to, it's like, wait a minute, if we get that goal, we can get 3 points? It was an incentive to attack. And in England, which is the most macho league, you don't want to show your hurt, which is weird because when some of these foreigners come in, they're like, oh no, I'm dead. And it's like, homie, don't play that here. You can kind of see those guys. But that's what I like about Americans and the British, the Irish, the Germans. They think it's embarrassing to act like it's hurt. We've seen some cultures, the Mediterranean cultures, where you're celebrated to act like you got hurt. And in England, it doesn't work like that. So that means in England, usually you see a team come all the way down and attack, and then the other team come all the way down and attack. It's relentless entertainment.
It's much better than it used to be, certainly. And yes. You know, you mentioned some of the more Mediterranean leagues. I used to watch a lot more Serie A. And you would have situations where a player would go down and based on how many tumbles after the alleged foul would tell you how many minutes he'd be down. If you get to that third roll, now we're going freezy spray. You got to bring out the freezy spray. And now he's going to be down for a little bit. It'll be multiple grimaces. There'll be a headband adjustment. And that, I think, ultimately is what turns off a lot of Americans to the game. It's the perceived lack of action. It's the grotesque floppery. And it's just the general diva nature, which, to your point, the English Premier League, I think, has the least of that. Of, I'd say, the German, the Bundesliga has even less.
Yeah.
But the English League would be next.
The Italians themselves call it the opera buffo, the buffoon's opera, when this type of
thing. The Oprah Winfrey.
When this type of thing happens. I remember when I was in England in 2002 and they had this commercial. I forgot what it was for, but it had secret cameras at the Italians training camp before the World Cup. And it showed them having diving practice.
Oh, it's great.
And it had a guy go
by.
But
there was no swimming pool.
Yeah, it had a guy run by and it showed them to flick your jaw to the left and then spin around. And then every time you fall down, hold your shin with one hand and then wave furiously stretcher with the other hand. And the whole team was practicing it.
Yeah. The furious wave of the trainer.
What was great was that Jurgen Klinsmann, who of course played in Italy with Inter Milan, when he came to Germany, everyone said, he's a diver, he's a diver. So his first press conference, he said, where in London is the diving school? And then Tottenham was incurred because of their, I'll try to keep this short, but they were going to go broke because of the Midland Bank, this guy, Irving Scholar. So they had a 12-point penalty. They started the season minus 12.
Wow.
So they're going to get relegated. They appealed. They got it to minus 6. The first week they got to 0 with 2 wins, but Klinsmann scored the goal at Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday, and he ran and he dove and everybody else dove. And I remember the headline, of course, they're not PC over there. The headline in the Sun said, he's done what Hitler couldn't. He's conquered England.
Jeez, that's pretty strong.
Yes. Even in 1990, I was like, what? 94, sorry.
Nowadays,
yeah,
you can't even say that on a podcast without, getting rebuked, formally rebuked.
Sure.
Transfer news, Rick, let's talk a little transfer time.
Yes.
As we are getting ready to have the January window into its absolute feverish pitch. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Paul Pogba. The rumor is back to Juve. How much would this hurt Man U, a club that really hasn't utilized him much, and can he make a difference for Juve in the Champions League?
It's the kind of thing where it's a shame because he's there, and you're right, Man United could certainly use them. They're not in their customary spot in the top five. But then it makes you wonder for the team that's buying him, like, what am I getting now? It's like Mario Balotelli there. He's not as much as a bad boy as him, but it's like, am I getting a guy who's going to give me everything, or am I getting a guy who's moody and ooh, my arm, that type of thing? So I would take him, but I think it's getting to the point now where you almost have to wonder how big the risk is.
And he's facing surgery that'll have him out for 3 to 4 weeks. And then to your point, how much will he be motivated? The presumption being when he goes back to Serie A, back to Juventus, he would find his old form, his comfort zone. It's never seemed like the right fit in Manchester United, even when Jose Mourinho was there. He played well early, and then he kind of fell out of favor toward the end of Mourinho, and as did Rom Lukaku. And then even when OGS came in, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he never seemed to really fit in as well. So that's a transfer I think both sides would definitely welcome.
And some guys are just not box-to-box midfielders. Some midfielders want to play in the pocket up front, or they just want to be... And sometimes it's design. You'll have a defensive midfielder who's the teeth, who will sit in front of the back four, and you'll have a guy who's the engine room who sprays the ball around. It seems to me that Pogba sort of wanted to be a libero at first, a sweeper, and then it seemed like he almost was like, well, I'm kind of a striker. And then, so the defensive duties weren't all there as well. It's sort of like when you'd say, you know, are you James Harden or are you Bruce Bowen? And it's like, well, you don't have to be either extreme there, and we can be more like a Klay Thompson. This is what we want.
But he wants to be the kind of player that he can't be, which if he really wants to be an impactful midfielder, you got to work. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't show a consistency in work rate to be the player, in my opinion, that he should be. Because you can't just have him be your striker and try to feed the ball to him, because he demands more touches. When he's getting touches in the middle of the park and he's engaged, he becomes more dangerous, in my opinion. He becomes more involved in what you're trying to do.
And I've said this before, the guy he reminds me of the most is Stefan Effenberg. A guy that big in the middle of the park, and we've seen him win physical battles. He's bigger and stronger than you. He just is. I don't care who you are. He's bigger and stronger than you, and it's just too bad that he's not more committed, and maybe he will get committed back with La Vecchia Signora.
Aston Villa is trying to avoid relegation. They could be interested in Chelsea outcast Mishy Batshuayi, who sits behind Tammy Abraham, the youngster, and also Olivier Giroud tends to get more time in these Premier League matches as well. Aston Villa getting Batshuayi, is it a move of desperation? Is it a sound choice to try to stay up?
You have to try and stay up. That's where the money is. And they can't sell Jack Grealish. They can't be sellers.
I like
have
Grealish.
To buy.
He's a feisty little guy.
He scored a nice goal yesterday again. Batshuayi, you know, that's the thing. It's like Chelsea, it's like, eh. I mean, I was just thinking yesterday with the game Tottenham was playing, you have this guy Ings who scores this goal, a nice little chip around Alderweireld, and scores with his left foot. This guy was on Liverpool, and Liverpool's like, who are you? But he goes to another team and you're the man. I mean, that might work out for Batshuayi.
Yes, and a possible move for Leicester City, and this is all from ESPN.com and their soccer blog. Some interesting transfer chatter. Leicester possibly in the running for Juventus center half Daniel Rugani. Your thoughts on Leicester City adding another piece and what they might actually need, because they've got so much quality and their system works so well. Could they bring in a player like Rugani or Rujani and make an impact?
They got so much money for Harry Maguire. And when they sold him, they were sort of like, well, you know, what are we? We're a selling club now. And it's like, look, we won our championship with Ranieri and then we fired him. And now we're just going to hang around. Maybe we can win a League Cup or maybe we can get into the Europa League. Well, here they are. They're sitting on a ton of cash, and I think they should spend it. This is why you trade for Emmanuel Sanders and give up a 3 and a 4, because next year you might stink, Dan. They have to capitalize and get into the Champions League.
You must strike while the iron is hot. I believe it was John Henry. Yeah, go ahead and borrowed it from the great blacksmith.
Ah, or as on the crest of Tottenham, audere est facere, to dare is to do.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley, it's Golasso Supremo.
All in Latin.
Yeah. It had
Dominico Friscum.
Had to be. Dominicum Friscum. That's what TSA said to me, my friend back from San Diego.
Sure.
Might have had something in
cavity.
My pocket. Yeah. Actually, groin anomaly. I always get the extra frisk because I have a groin anomaly.
Did you do the Fletch line using the whole fist, Doc?
No, but I probably could have, but I was already in some hot water.
A groin anomaly.
Yeah, every time the TSA agent, I go through the x-ray thing that spins around, I step out and they, please wait here.
They think you have a third leg?
It's something like that. And the lady always, she goes, groin anomaly. So then they got to bring in the male frisker.
We got a baby's arm holding an apple.
Siri, a couple of apples. She wants more of a... Anyway, it's Golasso Supremo.
Yeah.
Man City, potentially interested in Tammy Abraham, who the Chelsea striker wants. Big money, big money. Show me the money.
Mm-hmm. How tall is he? Like 6'4"?
He's pretty tall.
Yeah.
He's tall drink of water. I don't know if he quite goes that tall.
Maybe because all the other players are short.
So he could be 5'11". He's a big kid. Good young striker. Showing a lot of talent, but... Man City, I mean, come on, really? Isn't enough enough?
Well, I mean, look, Man City doesn't like where they are right now, and these millennial fans are saying, out with Pep, out with Pep. They don't understand what they're talking about. But I think Chelsea, what kind of message does that send to your fan base if you sell that guy to a team above you in the table?
Especially when you're just trying to emerge from a half-season transfer ban that you had to suffer through. Although now, of course, it's been lifted on appeal, so Chelsea able to be somewhat active. Mm-hmm. Here's one that could scare Liverpool fans. Sadio Mane getting a lot of interest from Real Madrid. The interest is Real.
Ah, that's true.
Thank you.
It is not Faque.
It's terrible. It's not Faque Madrid. It's Real Madrid. They see him as a perfect replacement for Gareth Bale, assuming that Bale eventually goes. Bale might come back to the Premier League, right?
Assuming that he will bail.
Yes.
Bale. There was a thing about Eriksen straight up for Bale to White Hart Lane again. I don't know what's going to happen with
that. Who says no in that one, by the way? Assuming that, and I know that Tottenham wants to move on from Eriksen. Eriksen wants to leave Tottenham, but player for player, who gets the better end of that deal?
Well, player for player, it's Bale. They play different positions. I mean, Bale is a flying winger, but I mean, it's hard to say no to him. Tottenham doesn't want to move on from Eriksen. They don't have a lot of options. He's still their best midfielder. And Mourinho said, I know what's going to happen because he told me, and I'll let you know in January. So we're all waiting. I would love to see him stay around. He's still young, and the fact that Inter wants him shows that he's still got a name. I mean, he's the best Danish player as well. But yes, Real Salt Lake, that name always makes me laugh. And I do have one little piece of MLS news.
Bring it.
Charlotte MLS, they don't have a name for the team, but they are one of the 900 expansion teams. What do we have, 30 now? They're going to start in 2021. And they named a new director of football, Zoran Kaneta. And he said, he comes over, of course, from New York City, Red Bulls. He said, we're going to concentrate on the Carolinas. And if the Carolinas can give us Michael Jordan, we will get the Michael Jordan of soccer. So I want to let everybody know that the next Messi is coming from Durham. Or parts therein.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game podcast network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.